Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and my whole goddamn life people have told me I get too excited about things and laugh too loud at stuff. Who are you?
I'm Bex. I am a sex educator and a sex blogger. I recently had someone say that one of the things they like most about me is how easy I am to please, and then illustrated that by handing me a single French fry, and it was the happiest I've ever been.
See, this raises the question, like, would you have been as happy if it was, like, a whole bowl of French fries? Or is it just there's something special about just getting one?
Well, it was some of his food, and, like, I never feel entitled to other people's food. So, like, literally every time anyone's like, you want some? I'm like, oh my god, really? Thank you!
And that's how you should react. I always hate when you give people stuff and they don't even say thank you. Like, who raised you? Rude. But I'm Canadian, so, you know.
Well, that's the thing.
My threshold for appropriate levels of politeness is different, I gather. Every time I go to New York, everybody's just shouting stuff in my face and, like, not saying excuse me. And I'm like, what the what? Like, again, who like raised us. You? Anyway, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. Although now I want to do a whole episode of our show just about French fries and kind of French fry etiquette.
It has nothing to do with sex, dating, or masturbating.
You know what? It does if you're doing those things correctly.
Oh my god.
Don't judge. Don't kink shame me. I'm really getting into this line of thought, and I'm thinking about that episode of Seinfeld where George always wants to eat while having sex, and I'm just trying to think if there's any situation in which I would be at all okay with that, like, if I could make that sexy. And I think I probably could, but I never have, so I don't know.
Yeah, I never have. I'm sure there's a way. I'm a weird fuck, I could figure something out.
Anyway, enthusiasm. We're talking about it today. And it's something that comes up in our podcast again and again. I believe we've previously said that if there was a Dildorks drinking game, you would take a shot every time we say enthusiasm or mention being enthused about something.
That probably makes sense.
Yeah. Because I think, like, first of all, we're sex nerds, so we're fucking enthusiastic about every sex thing that we're into. Like, we're way more into it than the average person, and it's probably overwhelming to some people, but I appreciate having that energy mirrored back at me, and so I'm always, like, especially excited to bang people who are equally nerdily excited about sex as I am.
Yeah, but, and I think for me, I don't even know that I'm more enthusiastic. It's just that I'm enthusiastic in two different ways. Like, I'm excited because I get to do sex stuff, and for most people, that's an exciting thing. But I'm also excited because there's a part in my back, in the back of my brain the entire time going, science! How does this work? What can I learn?
And I think that that's an interesting distinction because, like, sometimes I have sex with people who, like, seem really excited to be having sex, but not necessarily specifically to be having sex with me. And there is a difference in feeling there. I remember having this conversation with you about this person we both know who is kind of a slut, and, like, that's fine. I don't have an issue with sluts, but we were discussing whether or not I was attracted to him. And I was like, he's, like, good-looking, but I get the sense that, like, he like, sleeps with so many people and just finds, like, new sexual experiences exciting. And I've never gotten a sense from him that he was, like, specifically interested in me for any particular reason. And so I kind of need that. I kind of need the person to be specifically enthusiastic about me for some reason in order to get into it. Although, you know, depending on what kind of sexual experience you're looking for, sometimes it is fun to just bang someone who's just excited to bang.
Yeah, and I think not everyone approaches sluttiness that way either. Like, there are plenty of sluts who are genuinely excited. And I just think it's important to acknowledge that distinction. But yeah, there's plenty of people that are just like, oh my god, bits! I get to play with them!
I get the whole being excited about bits thing. For me, that's just not really how my sexual enthusiasm works. Like, I get excited about the person's brain and then thereafter their bits. Although I will say that that happens for me more so with folks with dicks than folks with vulvas, which raises interesting questions about how sexual orientation functions.
Yeah. I had someone, like, I was actively thinking about blowjobs this morning.
Of course.
As you do. When I got a message on OkCupid that was like, from some dude who literally messaged me like, I like your collar. Are you into kink? To which I responded, I think the answer to that's fairly obvious. followed by him being like, I'm only in town for a week. Do you want to hook up? I haven't had a blowjob in weeks. And I'm dying. Oh, no, I haven't had a blowjob in days, and I'm dying. And I was like, I am actively thinking about wanting to blow someone right now. And this offer has no appeal whatsoever.
I remember there was this one night when I was on Tinder and I was, like, actively wanting to blow someone. Like, I was having an intense, acute craving for it. And I was just, like, swiping with all these dudes, like, trying to find someone, anyone, who would say anything witty or interesting or funny or nice at all. And I was like, the first person who it is at all fun to talk to, I will happily go and blow if they are down for that. And just none of them were. Like, I think I Tindered for like an hour quite intensely. There was nobody. I was like, make a joke, like make a feminist reference, like make a pun on my name, anything. Just, you don't know, you don't understand what's at stake here. And just it didn't happen. And I did not blow anyone that night.
And I think that kind of highlights one of the important things about enthusiasm. Whereas it doesn't necessarily, I mean, for you, yeah, the enthusiasm has to be about you. And for some people, I'm sure that's true. But I think, in general, the enthusiasm has to be somewhat specific. Mm-hmm. Like, I am excited about this thing, rather than just being enthusiastic about the world. Because I think you kind of run into a point where either, like, dude who was like, hi, suck my dick, please. He was clearly very enthusiastic about his desire, but it felt very self-centered.
Yes.
Or you get someone who's, like, really enthusiastic to the point where it stops feeling genuine. Like, you're just so excited about everything that it's like, all right, can you, everything can't be a 10. I'm really easily excited, and I can't get that excited about the world, so what's going on here?
It feels inauthentic. I was just thinking about how my fanaticism about blowjobs really developed because of partners' enthusiasm about them. Because my first cis male partner, we were having like a pre-sex chat one time, like super early in our relationship, and he said to me that he actually wasn't that big of a fan of blowjobs. And like, I found out way later that he actually did not really mean that. What he meant was that they always made him come too fast, and so he got too stressed out about it and like just preferred to do other things because it like made him feel insecure.
That's a very different story, but okay.
Yes. It is. I think that he was perhaps trying to be tactful or something because it was so early in our relationship. But I just heard, like, I don't like blowjobs. And so, like, I didn't get any inherent pleasure from them at that time. So it didn't really, like, I did it occasionally with him, but, like, not really very often. Whereas, like, I had partners later on who, like, expressed to me quite vocally that BJs are a thing that they enjoy and are in some cases, like, the main thing that gets them off during partner sex. And that enthusiasm, like feeling that from them during sex, was really what enabled me to develop a like for a giving head, because it was so much fun to feel their reactions and to feel their excitement, and in some cases to like get thanked by them afterward or like get cuddled extra hard by them afterward because they thought I did a really good job or whatever. And that is so different from someone who's just like ambivalent about what you're doing to them.
Yeah, I think seeing someone's enthusiasm is a great way to just A, be reminded that they want to be there, mm-hmm. which can be really validating, and yeah. also really rewarding, like, I'm doing a good job, especially for someone like me and you, who's so service-oriented. Mm-hmm. It's like, it feels like praise, that kind yeah. of enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. What else about enthusiasm makes it really, like, hot to you?
I think beyond just being reminded that I'm doing a good job and that I'm a good partner, I think it's also very affirming to have someone affirm that I am desirable and, like, physically attractive and sexy. Because, like, you know, everybody has these insecurities. And I grew up fully believing I was, like, ugly and unlovable, and there are still definitely times today where people show interest in me or attraction to me, and I'm like, really? Like, why? And I just don't get it. And I'm kind of at a point now where I sort of just trust that they are telling the truth. And like, I have this kind of analogy that I use in my own head to help me understand this, which is like, if someone tells you their favorite flavor of ice cream, even if it's not your favorite flavor, like, you believe them that it's their favorite flavor. So like, you might not agree with them, but you believe them. And so that's kind of what I, like, my self-talk that I give myself in my head when I'm doubting that people are attracted to me. But I think, like, anytime someone expresses extreme enthusiasm sexually for you, it helps to undo some of those feelings of, like, unworthiness or undesirability. Like, I remember in the early days of seeing my long-term ex, at one point I was over at his house and we were just, like, hanging out and we were talking about cunnilingus, as one does, and he just kind of in the middle of the conversation was just like, oh my god, I have to go down on you right now. And then, like, ran over to his door, like, locked the bedroom door, ran back over to me and like, pulled my tights down when he saw that I was consenting, obviously.
Right.
And started to go down on me. And I think I came in, like, 3 minutes. Like, it was, like, the intensity of his desire for me was such a turn-on and also helped me relax, which is so important for me during sex because I get so in my head. So, yeah, it can be super sexy. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of, like, keeping me out of my head, because my head is, in my head is the, like, running thing of, are you sure you want to be here? Is this fun? Mm-hmm. I'm having fun. Are you having fun? Like, and it kind of reaffirms all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think it, like I was saying earlier, it just really, really plays into my service kink.
Mm-hmm.
To have someone be excited. Plus, I'm kind of, for as anxious as I am, I'm kind of an arrogant fuck, so, like, if you're gonna, if you wanna just pet my ego, that's cool. And we can absolutely talk about how great I am.
Yeah.
And just, also, when someone is enthusiastic about something or excited about something, that kind of passion shines through, and just the way it, like, lights up their face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, enthusiasm even doesn't have to be a sex thing. Like, if someone's enthusiastic yeah. about sex, like, great, awesome, that's really hot, that's really validating, whatever. But watching someone talk about what they're passionate about,
mm-hmm.
when I do job interviews at my retail gig, the first question I ask someone is, tell me what you're passionate about. Doesn't have to be mm-hmm. my job or even related. Talk to me about you. Because people are really nervous in interviews, but if you see them talking about something they love and something they're excited about, their whole demeanor changes. Like, mm-hmm. they get rid of some of that stress of, like, you know, oh god, this is a scary environment, because they're talking about something that they obviously know a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
And they totally, like, loosen up and open up and share and are really, really passionate about it. And those are the kind of people that I want working with me, and those are the kind of people I want to surround myself with just in life, is people who are passionate about something, whatever that something is. It's just really, really, like, in addition to, I think, giving you one of the clearest pictures of a person you'll ever get, it is also, if it's someone you're attracted to, it's super hot.
Yeah, I have a blog post from ages ago, which I think is called something like 3 questions to ask someone if you want to fall in love with them a little bit. And one of them is like, what are you passionate about? And I think that, like, even if you don't know someone very well and they might otherwise be kind of stilted or awkward with you because of that, if you get them talking about something they're really excited about, you get this glimpse of, like, their deeper self oftentimes. And it can be really exciting and illuminating. And it definitely makes everyone appear in a more attractive light, I think, than they would otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think... Or how do you prefer for people to convey that enthusiasm? How do you best receive it?
So, like we talked about in the service episode, I'm really about verbal affirmation. And I think that when it comes to sex, it's really helpful for me if that verbal affirmation happens before, during, and after the sex. Just because, like, that really hammers it home. Like, if someone before we bang or before we even start hooking up is like, oh my god, I can't stop thinking about making out with you, or, like, I can't wait to go down on you later, or I can't wait to have my cock in your mouth. And then during the sex is, like, complimenting me and, like, you're doing so good, or you look so pretty, or you taste so good, whatever. And then the next day or afterward is, like, that was awesome. I'm so glad we did that. I want to do that again. My favorite part was XYZ. I think all of those things together really make me feel super good about the interaction, because, like, sometimes people can be really enthused in the moment during sex, and then afterward they make you feel really, like, dropped almost, because they sort of, like, lose all their enthusiasm all of a sudden, and you're like, oh, was that only, were you only feeling that during the moment, and you don't actually feel that way about me in the rest of our lives, which is kind of a weird feeling, unless that's explicitly the dynamic that you signed up for and are okay with. So I really like the before, during, and after, because it just helps me feel calmer about the whole thing. And, like, I get so in my head during sex. I'm just like, I know that we're banging, but do you even actually find me attractive? Like, that's just always the question in my head. So if they're just, like, preemptively answering that question without me needing to ask for that, that is really helpful to me. How about you? How do you like partners to show their enthusiasm?
Yeah, I think the beginning, middle, and after thing is really important. I also think, and the way you said verbal affirmations, really good for me. I also appreciate clarity in the verbal affirmations. Like, a lot of my anxiety is around being misunderstood or someone misunderstanding someone else, which is, I think, part of why I talk so damn much. but, so being really clear about really liking something, especially if it's something new that maybe I'm not sure if you like or not. Being really clear and saying how much you're enjoying it. And also things that feel like independent thought, that feel like things you came up with on your own. Like, I've talked before about how great it is to notice that someone saw that I was into something and parroted that thing back to me. Like, that's great. And I really like when someone is very clearly telling me an idea they came up with all on their own, because that means it's something that they were thinking about. And I know it's a lot of my anxiety manifests as me thinking, oh, they're only doing this because I like it. Because I was in a relationship for a very long time where that's how sex worked. So they're doing this because they know I like this. This is a chore for them that they're doing because they like me. That kind of thing. So if someone is very clearly saying something that genuinely turns them on and is not something that I've talked about being turned on by or, you know, expressed an interest in, or at least not recently or anything like that, it's really hot to me, because it's like, you are obviously saying / doing that thing because it turns you on. Like, that is very clearly a thing that you want.
Yeah.
And that's really hot to me. Plus, it plays into my, like, service slash being owned kinks, because it's like, you're gonna do it for me, because I'm in charge, so...
Mm-hmm.
So that's also a thing that's hot for completely different reasons.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, we've talked before about the partner I had who was, like, maybe on the ace spectrum. I don't know. Just, like, didn't seem to have an inherent interest in sex. And he was, like, very good at being affirming while the sex was going on. Like, he would say things to me about how pretty I was, and he would, like, talk dirty to me and talk about what he was doing to me. But then, like, immediately after the sex was done, that whole attitude would just go away. And also, like, before the sex would happen, he would say things like, oh, I think we should get you off tonight. Like, it was just a thing on our to-do list, and, like his priority was just, like, my orgasm and, like, not my pleasure or my comfort or a mutual experience of intimacy. Like, it was just like, oh, we're gonna check that one off the list. So, like, the way that he talked about sex before and afterward was so not enthusiastic, and then he was very good at, like, putting it on during the sex itself so that I could almost forget that he didn't have any an actual interest in it. But that was part of, like, what makes me think now that, like, I need to have it before, during, and after, because otherwise I just don't really believe you. Some people are very good actors, and I'm like, but are you really into me, though? This is always the question.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, we have, as two people with anxiety, people have a pretty high bar for us to believe them. Yeah. It's just like, some people are not great actors. Some people are just genuinely feeling that, and we're just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I always get into, like, like, if someone says that they think I'm really pretty, then I want to ask them, like, but what specifically do you like about my face or my body or whatever?
Here, please fill out the survey.
It sounds like fishing for compliments, right? Like, it sounds like you're, like, asking someone to, like, tell you all the things that are great about you, and you are, but it's not even, like, for me, it's not an arrogance thing. It's like, I need to hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, or I just am not sure. 'Cause, like, if I ask you what you find sexy about me and you say something that I've never thought of as being sexy about me. Like, I remember one time a boyfriend in high school told me he thought it was really sexy that I was so honest all the time. That I was just, like, dorky and, like, authentically weird, and didn't try to, like, be cool. And he told me he thought that was sexy, and that was the word he used. And ever since then, I've, like, felt better about that quality, just, like, permanently, because he said that. And I think those really specific compliments, they really stick with me. Like, I had a partner in high school who told me that she thought my labia were beautiful and felt very soft on her tongue. And now forever, I'm like, I have fucking great labia. Good for me.
Yeah, and I think that, like, the uniqueness of those and the specificity comes back to the... You must genuinely feel that. No one's gonna fucking lie about labia softness.
Like, exactly. Like, you wouldn't make that up. That's not a trope. If you were trying to...
Yeah. You would be like, you taste so good, or I love your eyes, or, like... Which are also genuine things you can say to people, but it's just, like... They're the thing. They're also the things you're supposed to say.
Yes.
So
I have a post about giving great compliments. Sorry to, like, continually rep my own posts in this episode, but I have some good stuff on these. I have a post about how to write, how to give good compliments, and one of the things is to be really specific and to use language that isn't cliched. Because I think if someone says, you know, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, you're sexy, those are great words, but, like, a lot of us hear those words a lot or say those words a lot, and so they don't really entirely sink in. Whereas, like, I remember I had a girlfriend in high school who once told me that a particular photo of me was, quote, scintillating, and that will just stick in my brain for goddamn ever, 'cause that's just a great word. So I think, like, picking unique language in the ways that you compliment people is helpful. I know that every time I tell a guy he has a good blowjob dick, he seems to have never heard that before and to need an explanation of what that means. And then he seems to feel really good about it afterward. But I think because I'm not just saying you have a great dick or, like, your dick's so big, I like it, because that's not really what I mean when I say you have a good blowjob dick. I'm not necessarily saying that it's huge. I'm saying some very particular things about its mouth feel and its responsiveness, and I think that unique compliments go a long way. Do you have any memories of, like, times when partner's enthusiasm was particularly on point?
Yeah, so there's this dude, I think he's, like, one of the first people I've ever hooked up with from OKC, and he was from out of town, and I distinctly remember his first message to me, because it was back when I lived on Long Island, and he was like, "Yo, I'm visiting Long Island, and everyone on OkCupid is shit." And I was like, "Boy, I know! This is accurate!
I live here."
Which is, like, actually a dating flirting technique where you kind of, like, connect with someone and you do the, like, us against the world kind of thing, but it worked. I was immediately like, "You are right, we are on the same page. I should suck your dick." And then I did. So he was, like, really focused on consent, but also very, very clearly into me, which was awesome. And, like, really excited about, you know, how good of a blowjob I gave and blah, 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 and was really engaging in, like, this is the same guy, I distinctly remember I was, like, sucking his dick from one angle, and then I shifted my body, did the same thing from a slightly different angle, and he was like, "Oh my god, like, that feels so much better." So we were, like, playing with sex stuff, too, and, like, communicating really well, which was awesome for, like, a one-night hookup. But this guy, so he's from, way out of town, different state, and regularly texts me every time he's back on Long Island. Like, he's out, when he comes to Long Island, it is nowhere near where I now live, which is in New York City. And he texted me recently, and I was like, "Bro, I'm in Queens." And he was like, "I'll drive there." And I was like, "That's 2 hours." And he's like, "I know." Well, I mean, all right. And, like, it didn't wind up happening, but this was, like, a year after I sucked his dick the first time. Like, it was a long time. Maybe 6-8 months. But, like, it was a long time. It was a lot of time. And he was just like, "I will drive 2 hours." And I was like, "Well, you excited?"
Sometimes a blowjob is just so good that you never forget it.
Yeah, and I just, like, kind of explain a brag to that my way through that whole thing. But it's just, his enthusiasm was probably some of the most standout enthusiasm I've seen in my sexual career.
It was exemplary.
It was impressive. He just, that look on his face, we've talked about it before, but that look of just, like, shock and amazement that any of this is happening, that he's allowed to be there and be doing these things.
The child on Christmas morning. It's just, you can't fake that.
He was also super into rimming and complimented my asshole. So we were talking about unique compliments. That's probably right at the top. He's like, "This is probably weird, but you have a really cute asshole." And I was like, "Yeah, that's definitely weird. Yeah." But cool. All right. Whatever, bro. What about you?
I think it's kind of funny that we're both telling stories about people who are from out of town. It makes me wonder if, like, maybe that's more conducive to excitement and enthusiasm, because it's just, like, a limited time offer, and they know that, and you know that, and I think you're also in a different headspace when you're traveling. Like, you're seeing things through fresh eyes, and you're really taking things as they come, so to speak. So I was at my local sex club recently, and I was hanging out in the pool with my friend Suze, and we were actually talking about this fuck buddy of mine and this fantasy he has that I want to try to fulfill with him. And as we you were do. Just chatting about that. Yeah. And then this guy kind of like floats up beside us. And I was talking about how like I want to know why my fuck buddy has this particular fantasy so that I can best fulfill it for him. And I'd like to know his motivations behind it. And this guy floats up beside us and he's like, do you really need to know someone's reasons for having a fantasy to fulfill it? Like sometimes you don't even know the reasons yourself.
And it's like, bro, who invited you?
Yeah, I mean, he was making a fair point, but also, like, I'm a sex nerd, and he didn't know that, and I get over-analytical about stuff like that. Of course I want to know why people have their fantasies. And, yeah, I did definitely have a moment of, like, why are you talking to us? Like, we're just trying to, we're two women trying to have a chill convo in the pool. Like, but that's kind of, like, what you do there, is, like, you try to chat up strangers. Like, it's just sort of part of the culture, so I was like, whatever. And then as I started talking to him, I realized that he was, A, quite cute, and B, British, so that helps. So we started talking, and he was, like, telling us that, like, he'd never been there before, and, you know, obviously, because he's not from there, and he was nervous about, like, being naked and whatever, and he was, like, asking about the social protocol of the club, and he's like, so, for example, if you met someone attractive, and you want to kiss them, how do you do that? And it was, like, the most transparent, like, he clearly wanted to kiss me, but I was, like, trying to be cool about it. So I was like, well, I don't know, it's like, you know, you read the room, you see, you know, if they're responding in the way that you want them to, and then you maybe ask them, like, would it be okay if I kissed you? So, of course, he, like, a minute later, he's like, could I kiss you? And I was like, lol, okay. and I kissed him, and he said thank you afterward, which is like, I don't know, people have really mixed feelings about the thank you, like around sex or sex related things. I am a fan of it, especially if it's like someone has been doing something specifically for your pleasure. Like if someone's just gone down on me for 40 minutes and made me come, yeah, I'm gonna say thank you to that person. I don't care if they think it's like weird or transactional, because like for me it's not about that. It's like I appreciate this thing that you did for me. But anyway, that's a whole other discussion. So we're like continuing to make out. He's like starting to like feel me up and whatever, which by the way, Suze was not just floating there watching us. Like she went and found someone else to talk to. But so like every once in a while during this like intense makeout sesh, he would just kind of like lean back and look at me and be like, you're so beautiful. Like, thank you. I'm so happy I'm here. You know, just these little affirming comments of like gratitude for this moment. And I found it quite interesting that often when people give me like romantic compliments like that during sex or during a hookup, there is part of me that does interpret it very romantically and thinks like, oh, they must be into me in a way where like they want to date me or they want this to be more than sex. But I guess just because of the context and I knew that he was leaving in a few days, I didn't interpret it that way. And I just mm-hmm. felt it as like this almost like zen just appreciation of the present moment. And it was really sweet. And then we, like, hooked up. And at one point, I had to go to my locker to, like, get a vibe because I was not going to come without one. And he came with me to my locker to get the vibe. And the whole time I was, like, in my locker looking for it, he's, like, feeling my boobs and, like, trying to finger me and, like, making me giggle. And I was, like, really unfocused and having a hard time finding the vibe. And it was just this, like, extremely clear enthusiasm for my body. Like he didn't even want to stop touching me for 5 seconds so I could find this vibe. And then I found it and like we banged some more, and then afterward we were gonna go back to his hotel to cuddle. And as we were like walking toward the hotel, he's like, so what made you want to hook up with me? Like, was it my British accent? Was it the way that I looked? And he like listed a few things, and I was like, honestly, I think it was that you were so appreciative and enthusiastic, because that made me feel safe and just really appreciated. Because I find so often in like casual hookup culture, sometimes people really don't make you feel appreciated. And I think that there is a difference between sort of an empathetic, careful, emotionally responsible slut and a slut who is less so those things. And like, if everyone's consenting to however you go about your sluttiness, then it's fine. But for me, I really need to feel appreciated and focused on and whatever, and he just made me feel like he was so there in that moment and like so into it and so into me. And I was like, yeah, so you saying thank you, like I think that was the thing that did it. And then he just kissed me in the middle of the street and said thank you.
Aww.
So cute. Fuck That and Fuck Yeah is our weekly segment where we tell you something we hate and something we love. This week we're talking about enthusiasm stuff. What's your Fuck That, Bex?
My Fuck That is a little counterintuitive, but it's people who are too enthusiastic, which, after we spend an hour telling you why enthusiasm is important, maybe not great. But I think part of enthusiasm is noticing how the person you're talking to is receiving it.
Yes.
And
yes,
I've had to, like, stop dating / hooking up with people because they were very clearly way more excited about this stuff we were doing than I was. Mm-hmm. And, like, way more excited about me. And I felt, yeah, like, put on a pedestal and, like, manic pixie dream beamed. And yeah, it just felt really icky and objectifying in a non-consensual way. Where mm-hmm. it's like, oh, you are suddenly very invested in this thing that we are doing. And I am not. And it's yeah. really unsettling.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to kind of take a step and, like, express some enthusiasm and then wait for that person to meet you at that point.
Yes.
And then
yes.
take the next step, you know, rather than just going all out. And when the person does not match your level, continuing to go, like, that's creepy. It's creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I also get uncomfortable when people are enthusiastic about qualities of mine that I think that they're either making up or, like, just kind of idealizing. Like, okay, I had this boyfriend at one point who told me that he thought I had a brilliant brain. And, like, first of all, I do, so so that was good. But I felt weird about it because I never really felt comfortable in that relationship entirely, and so I never really felt like I was entirely myself around him. So mm-hmm. when he gave me that compliment, I was like, oh, you're complimenting a version of my brain that is not even my real brain. Like, you're not even seeing the ways in which I am actually brilliant. whereas, like, you know, if a close friend who's known me for years gives me that compliment, then it feels different. Because they actually know what they're talking about, and they're seeing me for who I really am. And so, yeah, there is something, like, manic pixie-esque about people who, like, really emphasize how much they like these qualities of yours, where it's like, those are not actually necessarily qualities I have. Like, you're just seeing them on me, you're projecting them onto me in this weird way.
Yeah, and this was definitely a person that I was in that same state where I was like, bro, you don't know me yet. You're just kind of into these superficial things that you know about me.
Yes.
And yeah. that's uncomfortable. So yes, be enthusiastic, be genuinely enthusiastic, but also mm-hmm. meter your enthusiasm and mm-hmm. don't, just like any other feeling, don't pour all of it onto an unwilling receiver. Like,
yeah. And I think, like, some people are not very good at what we call reading the room or, like, gauging response. And that's, you know, it can come from being neurodivergent or from a variety of other things. And that's okay. I think you just, if you know that about yourself, you need to be better about consciously and deliberately checking in. Like, even asking someone, like, am I giving you too much attention? Is this overwhelming? Would you like me to back off? And sometimes they might say no when they mean yes. So sometimes you have to kind of get really real with them and be like, I need you to be honest here because I really don't know. And maybe say, like, you know, I'm not good at taking hints, or I don't always, you know, read people very well. I think that it's better to be open and honest about that stuff than to worry about it.
Yeah, that communication is great. And also, just teach yourself tangible clues to look for. Mm-hmm. You know? Things like, simple things like, is their smile meeting their eyes when you say things like that? When they smile, do the corners of their eyes crease after you mm-hmm. tell these things or not? Because mm-hmm. that's the difference between a genuine smile or a I'm smiling because I feel like I have to smile. So looking into, like, simple things like that, too, to kind of give you tangible evidence, because for me it's really easy to kind of fall into that confirmation bias where mm-hmm. I see what I want to see.
Yeah.
And that's not to conflate my mental health stuff with other people's mental health stuff. There's all different ways to be neurodivergent and to not be able to read those cues, but, like, know what coping mechanisms work for you. Because enthusiasm is really great and really important and can be really unsettling when pushed in the wrong, when targeted in the wrong direction. What about you? What's your fuck that?
I find it interesting that both of our fuck that's are related to being too enthusiastic. My fuck that is overzealous kissers, and it's another issue of, like, not reading the room, not reading the vibe. Because there are, I'm sure, a lot of people who really enjoy being kissed with a ton of tongue. I personally am not one of those people, and I believe in the idea of kissing as, like, contact improv. Alison Moon writes about this in her book Girl Sex 101. But, like, if you don't know what contact improv is, I studied improv in high school, so it's this, like, it's improv, but it's, like, also dance. And the idea is that you are paying attention to what your partner's body is doing and you're responding to that. And kissing is basically a subset of that, in my mind, in the sense that you shouldn't just, like, jump to a set list of techniques that you have that are just your stock techniques. Your kissing should always be responding to what the other person is doing and not going too far outside of what they're doing. Because they are setting the pace and you're setting the pace together, and finding a pace that is a compromise between what the two of you like. And if you are just shoving your entire tongue into my mouth, that is not paying attention to how I am kissing you, because I assure you I'm not kissing you like that. And I feel like if I wanted a lot of tongue, I would move toward giving a lot of tongue in return. So, yeah, I don't like it when people are just, like, all up in my face and not paying attention to what I'm doing. Both because it displays a lack of paying attention to me, but also because it makes me really anxious and it makes me feel really overwhelmed, and it really takes me out of the moment in a sexual encounter. And in an ideal world, of course, we would all disclose this type of information before we start making out or doing stuff. I would be like, I don't like a lot of tongue because it makes me anxious. But of course, that's not cool. Like, it's not really cool to say that to someone. There's something so dweeby about that. So sometimes you just gotta listen to somebody's body. And I think that that's important in all sex things.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is something we talked about a little bit earlier, but it's when people ask for what they want, which is such a great way of conveying that enthusiasm, like, to be like, I want you to do X so bad, what I mean? Whether it's you're laying in bed with someone, whether it's, you know, you send them a text during the day of what you want to see them do later, you send, even just, like, via text asking for a specific nude, like, I really want to see your hole right now, or whatever. When someone makes, like, clear requests of me, A, all of the service bottom feels, because I can do exactly what you wanted. but B, coming back to that thing, it's showing me that this is a desire that you definitely have. You know, that you are specific, that you know it's something that you want, that it was maybe something you were thinking about before you were even talking to me. And that's really hot.
I have actually noticed a marked shift in the way people respond to me sexually since I started initiating sex with lines like, I really want to X, or I kind of wanna X. I do like the kind of wanna, because I feel like it's lower pressure, even though if I was, like, in the middle of sex with someone and they were like, I kind of want to go down on you, I'd be like, kinda? Like, what?
excuse you.
Commit. But I think if you haven't actually started doing sex things yet and you're maybe just making out or whatever, like, that can be a low-pressure way to state what you want without demanding that they reply in the affirmative. So, like, I'll often say to someone, I kind of want to go down on you. And it's something I say a lot, but it's not like a scripted line in the sense of being inauthentic, because usually if I'm making out with someone, I do kind of want to go down on them. And I think that it's just, it's something to say that like gets things moving in the direction where I want them, but also like really states what I want and what I am enthusiastic about in that moment. And I find that a lot of people find that very like disarming and charming. Because they're not expecting that, and they feel good about it, and it also helps them like relax into what I'm about to do to them. So you know, for me, if someone goes down on me, I'm spending most of that time being like, are they getting bored? Are they getting tired of this? Whereas if they set it up in advance, if they're like, I want to go down on you, and like, I've had past partners who knew I had these issues and would be like, I really want to go down on you for like 40 minutes and just play around down there and just have some fun. And that to me is like, okay, now I know that I can actually relax and feel good about what's about to happen. So mm-hmm. That's nice.
So what about you? What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is weird sexual compliments. I was talking about this earlier about how like unique compliments just stick in my head so much better. I have this particular fuck buddy.
It was you very don't good say, do you now?
He truly gives the weirdest sexual compliments, and they're so funny. They always stick in my head. I'll just give you a few of them because they're so good. One time he was fingering me, and he said, he's like, oh, your clit is so thick and meaty. And I think I kind of gave him a look like, what? Because like usually
when I don't know how I feel about that.
When a straight cis dude says something to me about my clit being large or hard or anything that's like a penis-esque compliment, I don't know how to respond to that because I don't know how he's feeling about it. I feel fine about it, but like some dudes have, you know, weird homoerotic feelings about that. But he saw my weird look, and he was like, no, I like it. Like, he immediately said that, intuited that I needed a little extra explanation on that one. And then he was like, he knew I reviewed sex toys, and he was like, if I had a clit this good, I would touch it all the time, too. Which is just fucking fantastic. He's also the one who, I believe I've mentioned this before, he told me that I give the cashmere of blowjobs because I have a cat tongue.
Which makes me wonder, at what point his dick came in contact with a cat tongue?
Or cashmere. I don't think that he actually knows what either of those things feel like, because those to me are actually two very different textures.
I know! But I don't even fucking know what cashmere is, but I know it's not sandpapery like a cat tongue.
It's very soft, but I wonder if he meant more like the spirit of cashmere in the sense that my blowjobs are luxurious, and if there was a price on them, they would be very expensive. I don't know what that meant.
I'm just confused.
But then my third and final one that I will mention, because I just love this. I vividly remember this conversation because we were not in bed or anything. We were at a crosswalk. We were crossing the street on our way to go to a cafe, and we were just having a casual conversation about boobs.
As you do. Does.
And, yeah, and he told me that my boobs are the boob equivalent of Mario in Mario Kart. In the sense that they're sort of like middle of the road, something for everyone, like not too big, not too small, like one good handful. Then he told me I had good nipple texture, which is something that no one has said to me before or since. And I was like, well, great. Now I feel good about my nipple texture forever. I wasn't insecure about it before, but now I just feel great about it. But I love these weird compliments because, first of all, they're hilarious stories that I get to tell on my podcast, but then also they're just, like, great memories that stick in my head and that make me feel good about whatever thing you're complimenting forever and ever and ever. So I try to give intentional and weird and unique compliments like that now because I know how much I enjoy them when I receive them. You know what else I enjoy? When people listen to our podcast. Like you. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of The Dildorks. I hope it made you feel enthusiastic or at least inspired to have more enthusiastic sex or to only put up with enthusiastic partners in the future, because you deserve that, my love. My name is Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and my other writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff at?
I'm Bex. I'm at Bex Talk Sex on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find all my writing at BexTalkSex.com. Together we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram. We're also at thedildorks.com, or you can search the Dildorks on your favorite podcast app. We're also super excited to announce that we are on Patreon now, which means you can support our show and get some rad rewards in the process. You can donate as little as $1 per podcast and get a shout out on the show. You could also get things like stickers or even a chance to watch us record a live podcast once a month, which means you get to see all of the bloopers, including the ones that are not even good enough to make it to the end of the show. So, you know, that's real motivating.
We're going to lose all our credibility because people are going to be like, oh, these two are very unprofessional and spend the whole time just giggling. And very little time actually talking about sex.
You will also get to hear all of the stories that we start and go, oh god, I can't tell the internet that. Never mind. I'm going to finish telling you that, though.
So many.
Or the times we slip up and say names and we're like, oh, well, that's getting cut. Guess we're not telling any of that on the podcast. Really, we suck at this, and you'll get to experience all of it in its glory.
Yes, please. The stickers look sick as hell, by the way. I just got a package today in the mail, and you sent me some of the stickers, and they look amazing. They're our logo, and they're beautiful, and I just want to stick my face all over everything.
I'm so excited. My face is on my notebook that I, like, carry around with me at all times, and, like, people in my vanilla job have been like, is that your face? And I was like, yep, and now you know a lot about me that you can't unknow, so great. But really, show your dildorky pride. We're actually, hopefully, if you're going to be able to get enough per podcast, we're going to try and commission some other swag that we can have. Maybe t-shirts or tote bags or basically, I want my face on everything so that I can own it. And at that point, might as well also make it available to y'all.
I mean, I guess, if we have to.
Right, but just put my face everywhere. Have you seen it? Yeah. I'm adorable. So check us out at patreon.com/thedildorks and throw a few bucks our way to help us keep this thing going.
Yeah, we would love that. Come join our dildorky crew, y'all. Thank you also to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song. God, I love that song. Every fucking week when I edit this podcast, I'm like, damn it, that's a good song. And thank you also to Amy Gardner, who did our art that is on our beautiful stickers. Oh my god, I'm just so in love with it. It's been so many months, and every time I look at it, I'm still like, she got it perfect.
It just makes me smile every time.
It is so us. She is at starboots_ on Twitter, and she, I believe, is open for commissions, so if you want her to draw your face, you should go talk to her about that, because she's great. Until next time, folks. Get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye.
I feel like that ad was pretty. I want you in the morning.
We're going to say this word so many times.
Enthusiasm. Enthusiastic. We should. I'm going to thesaurus enthusiasm.
fervor, keenness.
What if we did that though and literally any time? Okay. Emotion, art. Oh, wait. Oh, okay.
Emotion. That's not right.
Ardor, devotion, eagerness, emotion, energy, feeling, fervor, frenzy, fury, intensity, interest, joy. Passion, spirit, warmth, zeal, slightly less of the same, activity, avidity, conviction, craze, dash, earnestness, ecstasy, exhilaration, fad, fanaticism, fever, fieriness, fire, flame, flare, gaiety, glow, go, heat, hilarity, hobby, impetuously, joyfulness, keenness, life, mania, mirth, nerve, oomph, orgasm, Hap, rapture, relish, snap, transport, vehemence, verve, vim, vivacity, zest, ardency, red heat, zealousness, elan.
Okay, I just want to point out that when you said synonyms, I said two of them, and then they were on that list, both of them. So I'm a genius.
Obviously.
Okay, shit. I don't know why I found that so funny, but...
I don't know, but I just kept going. We also have, where is...
Hey, we gotta record the podcast.
We have antonyms. Antonyms.
No, we need to record the podcast.
Peace is an antonym to enthusiasm. So is lifelessness.
So when my partner has no enthusiasm for my body and doesn't want to bang me, I'll just say that they're being peaceful. It's fine.
We are at peace.
So I sent him the photo of the extenders.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Beck sent me two different sizes of these silicone dick extenders. And he's like, oh, wow. So, like, are they designed for a guy like me, or are they for little guys, or what? Which, first of all, I love when he's just, like, matter-of-factly humble-braggy about his dick. It makes me laugh so much.
Yep. Just coincidentally, my dick is great.
So I replied, the bigger one would fit you, I think. And then he just wrote back, cool. Like, my dude, can I get a little enthusiasm?
My dude.